Today we will be talking about the very famous hadith of the 73 sects. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as narrated in Musnad Ahmad and Al-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim and Al-Mustadrak and a number of other books of narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة والذي نفس محمد بيده لتفترقن أمتي على 73 فرقة واحدة في الجنة واثنتان وسبعون في النار. And this means, in translation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Jews divided into 71 sects, and the Christians divided into 72 sects, and this ummah will divide into 73 sects. One of them is in Jannah, and the 72 are in the hellfire. So this hadith has a very significant effect on our perception of division and perception of who's the saved sect. And many people claim that they are the saved sect and everyone else is deviant, and there's all sorts of interpretations. So let's take a little bit of time today to identify the components of this hadith, to understand how does this hadith apply in the context of what we know, of everything else that we know in the shara of Allah Azza wa Jal, in what we knew, what we just discussed about the qat'i and the dhanni, and so on and so forth. When we look at this hadith, we find that it has three very important components to it that allow us to identify what it's referring to. The first thing it says, it uses the word firqa. It says, افترقت افترقت ستفترقوا, and so on. So the word firqa, we have to identify, what does he mean by firqa? What are we talking about here? The second component is the fact that he spoke about the Jews divided, the Christians divided, and my ummah will be divided. And therefore, so we have to look at how did the Jews divide, and how did the Christians divide, in order to understand, well, what kind of division is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to here. And the third component is the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in the hellfire, finnar. So he mentions that there is a punishment for the 72 sects or the other, and there's other narrations actually that say the Jews divided into 71 sects, 70 in the hellfire and one is in Jannah, and so on. So it's referring to the only one sect from amongst every one of those 71, 72 and 73 sects are in Jannah, and all the rest are in the hellfire. So we need to understand, what does he mean by the hellfire? Because we know in Islam that there is eternal hellfire for the disbelievers, and there is a temporary hellfire for the believers. So we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish some people for a temporary period of time due to sins that they committed, whether in their grave or whether in the Akhirah, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla will allow them out. And there's a hadith that talk about this. So which one is he referring to in this particular hadith? So the very first thing to look at is the word firqa, and what does it mean? And when we look at the meaning of the word firqa in the Arabic language, faraqa, yafruqu, tafriqa, and so on, this is all referring to categorizing or dividing or organizing. You take something and you make it into groups of 10, if you take something and split it in half, you take a cake and you chop it up and so on. This is all tafriqa and tafriq and so on. And farraqa means that he took something and divided it. And therefore, linguistically, it has a neutral meaning to just organize or divide and so on. So, and when you look at the usages in the Quran, we find that the Quran uses it in 34 or maybe more mentions in the Quran using the word firqa and his variations. And we find that Allah Azza wa Jalla uses it in all his different forms. He uses it in a positive context, in a negative context, and in a neutral context. So for example, a neutral example is when Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about Bani Israel in Surah Al-Baqarah and Musa alayhi salam when he saved them. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ if we split the sea for you. Is that an evil split? No, it's just a split. He just split the sea and he split the sea open so that they could pass. And this is an example of a neutral usage of the word farqa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses it in a negative context where he says in Surah Ali Imran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold all firm to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, do not become divided amongst yourselves. So this is a negative type of division. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses the word in a positive context, referring to the Muslims, referring to the Sahaba themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, he says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not for the believers to all go out to battle and no one stays behind. Rather, from every division, firqas, from every division from amongst the Muslims, a ta'ifa should stay behind to study the deen, yatafaqahu fi al-deen. And so Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word firqa to refer to the divisions amongst the Muslims in terms of their ranks and so on. And therefore, the word firqa is used in a positive context because it is a descriptive term. It has many different meanings. It could mean a good thing. It could mean a bad thing. And and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the meaning that it's referring to, a good type of division or a bad type of division, a good type of way of organizing ourselves or a bad way of organizing ourselves and therefore disorganizing ourselves, this is defined by the context of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. What type of division? Now, since we understand that the meaning of the word firqa is, it depends on the context, well, let's look at the context. What is the context of the firq that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about in this hadith? He's talking about the types of divisions that the Jews and the Christians fell into and that causes one to go to the hellfire. So let's look at the second component. The division between the Jews and the Christians. If we look throughout the Quran and throughout the Sunnah and the narrations that talk about the ways that the Christians and the Jews divided, what did they divide on? What kind of divisions did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemn them for? In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ. He says every time somebody comes to them, a messenger comes to them with what their desires don't want, some of them, and he uses the word firqa, fariqan, calls him a liar, and another firqa will kill him. So this is an issue of kufr and iman. This is an issue of rejecting the message entirely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes them in Surah Ali Imran. He says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And from them are, again, he uses the word firqa, لَفَرِيقًا. There is a group or a sect or a division that they twist their tongues with the book, using the book, they twist it in order to make you think that it's from the book, but it's not from the book. And they say it is from Allah, and it's not from Allah. So we see that they change the books. This is again a qat'a issue. Imagine somebody trying to twist an ayah and change it by reading it differently. This would be an issue of kufr and iman. So these are also qat'i issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes them in Surah At-Tawbah again, where he says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ. That the Jews said that Uzair is the son of Allah. And the Christians said that Isa, al-Masih, is the son of Allah. And so again, this is an issue of kufr by saying that Allah Azza wa Jal has a son, and again changing the deen. When you look at the consistent pattern of the changes that Allah Azza wa Jal was referring to, that the Jews and the Christians did, or the divisions that they formed, the firq that they formed was always revolving around qat'i issues, the things that he condemned them for, that he said they were going to hell, the hellfire for, or that they would be punished for, or that they angered Allah for, or that they were lying about, and so on. All these things, all these very severe terms, were used to refer to people who changed qat'i issues, who differed on qat'i issues. So therefore, when you look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they divided, and they divided 71 sects and 72 sects, we find that Allah azza wa jal speaks about them dividing on qat'i issues, things related to the book, things related to belief in Allah, things related to accepting some and rejecting some, things related to killing the prophets, and so on and so forth. And the third component of the hadith, now that we understand that the word firqa, it depends on the context, and we look at the divisions of the Jews and the Christians that the hadith refers to, and we see that Islam always, Allah Azza wa Jalla condemns the divisions within qat'i issues, in matters of aqidah, in matters of iman, in matters of the basis of faith, and the root of the aqidah, the core of belief. And then we look at the third part, the hellfire itself. How do we know what type of hellfire it is? And so as I mentioned, we discussed that there's two types of punishments. One is eternal hellfire, so it's talking about kuffar. So the reason why this is so important is because if the hadith is referring to kufr divisions, this hellfire is referring to the eternal hellfire. And if he's just talking about people who came to the wrong understanding or were slightly deviant but were still within Islam, then we would be talking about the temporary hellfire and not the permanent hellfire. So I will read from the books of tafsir on what they said. Now there is some disagreement about what this hadith means. It's a question of looking at what's the strongest interpretation based on the strongest understanding. In the tafsir of Sunan Ibn Majah by Imam al-Sindi, he says, 72 in the hellfire here is referring to the eternal hellfire, but we know that Muslims will not enter the eternal hellfire. If what was intended here was temporary entry, so we're talking about the temporary punishment for Muslims, then this would not make sense, as this fire applies to all sects, including the saved one, as there will always be sinners in every group. The correct understanding is that other sects are in the hellfire due to their differing in matters of the root of the aqidah, matters of Islam and kufr. in Tuhfat al-Ahwadi, the sharh of Jami' al-Tirmidhi, he says, it is well known that this hadith is not referring to disagreements in the branches, meaning halal and haram. Rather, it is referring to disagreements in the roots of tawheed, the conditions of prophethood, and in the message itself. Those who disagree here call each other kafir. And therefore, we find many mufassirin have discussed this from this particular angle, saying that what this hadith is referring to is that the sects that are outside of the one that is saved are sects that attribute themselves to belief. They attribute themselves to Islam, but they are kuffar. Such as the Ahmadis, who believe in a man who has become somehow reincarnated as Ibrahim and Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all into one man. They call it Dhull and Buruz, and it's a really confusing thing. And then you have Nation of Islam, who believe that Elijah Muhammad is a new prophet. You have different groups. You have the so-called Qur'anis, who reject ahadith entirely. You have all these different groups that exist, that claim to be Muslim, that identify themselves as Muslim, and they used to be Muslim. Many of them were actually Muslims. And then this false prophet comes and convinces them, and then they all deviate and they leave the fold of Islam. And therefore this hadith is saying that the Jews divided into groups. All but one were disbelievers, but thought that they were believers. They considered themselves to still be to be Jews. And the Christians, same thing. They divided into all sorts of groups. Only one of them were actually still considered believers by Allah Azza wa Jal, and all the rest were outside the fold of belief. And Islam is the same thing. The Muslims have divided into all sorts of groups, and only one of them are actual Muslims. And so within this saved sect are all the madahib and all the different views of aqa'id that are still within the fold of Islam. And therefore the Ash'ari and the Maturidi and the Athari and the Shafi'is and the Hanafi, the Hanbali, the Malikis, the followers of Imam Ja'far, the followers of Imam Zayd, you find that the Tablighi Jama'at and Jama'at Islami and the Hizb al-Tahrir and the Ikhwan al-Muslimin and all the different groups around the Muslim world, if they're still Muslim and they're still within the fold of Islam, they are al-Firqa al-Najiyah. And therefore from this, not only should we understand how this hadith fits in the context of our ummah today, that we should understand that if we have differences within the fold of Islam that Islam allows, not in the qat'i issues, but in the dhanni issues, things where there's room for interpretation of meaning, things where there's room for strength of narrations and weakness of narrations, then Islam allows us to differ. And we're not allowed to start accusing each other of kufr or all sorts of use bad words at each other and so on, because Islam tells us that we are all part of the one group that is going, inshallah, to Jannah at some point in time. Maybe some of us might be punished, but all of us, inshallah, are going to Jannah. So we are all Muslims, and we are all one united ummah. And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring our hearts together, and that we should not be divided amongst ourselves on matters that Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed us to be different, to have differences of opinion on, and to love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are all seeking the best understanding that we can. Even if we have major disagreements, as long as they're within what Islam allows and accepts, we need to be very tolerant of each other and discuss using the very best of speech and using still, regardless of if there's frustration, there needs to remain love and unity amongst the ummah, and so that we work together as a unit towards fixing our problems, our greater problems, not these ikhtilaf issues, but our greater problems where Muslims are dying and being killed. This will not be solved unless we come together and work towards resuming the Islamic way of life, united as one ummah.